association with bizradio.co.uk. The Business Bunker Radio Show is pleased to partner with leading employment law firm Locke Associates. They'll be bringing you regular news, information and help with employment law, health and well-being at work. If you want to find out more about Locke Associates Group, go to their website www.lockassociates.co.uk. That's Locke spelled L-O-C-H. And thank you to Locke Associates for supporting the Business Bunker Show. We are very, very grateful for your support. We've got another fantastic guest to talk to. We're going to catch up with Jules later in the show too. So why don't we go straight away and hear from Matt Butler of Neptune Bars. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Mr. Matt Butler of Neptune Bars. Matt, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I hope you're well.
Afternoon, Paul. Yeah, I'm great. Thanks. And thank you very much for inviting me along. It's great. It's great to be here.
It's lovely to see you. Why don't we kick off by you telling the listeners a little bit about Matt to start with? So give us a bit of detail about your background.
Bit about my background. All the secret and dirt's coming out now. I've been born and bred in Kent, always lived in Kent all my life, in and around the Canterbury area. I've got a couple of kids. Sadly, I'm divorced, but that happens to a lot of us. After working for my family for a few years, I decided I really needed to be on my own, self-employed. I don't think I'm an employee kind of guy anymore. I've made too many decisions. So,
well, it's a funny thing, that, isn't it? An awful lot of us that are self-employed or have our own businesses, I think we were corporate mavericks or whatever, and couldn't really cope with the corporate scene and corporate management. You know, we like to strike out on our own and do our own thing.
Yeah, I've seen myself going into jobs and looking at things and thinking, why are we doing it like that? Why don't we do it like this? So I'm probably not a very good employee. So.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, so many of us are like that. I mean, I guess that's why we're entrepreneurs and business people, because we have a tendency to see things in a slightly different way to your, your corporate bureaucrat.
We always see a different way of doing it, maybe what we believe to be a faster, quicker, a cheaper way. So move on to that.
Yeah, exactly. So in terms of why don't you tell us what Neptune Bars does, and then we'll explore why you do that, if you see what I mean.
Okay, so the basic premise of Neptune Bars is I provide event bars. So if anyone's having a birthday or a wedding or a celebration, a corporate event, I'm the sort of guy that you would call to provide your bar service. So I come in and I literally do everything. Right. Having liaised with a client and found out what they want, be it a 50th birthday party, their daughter's wedding, or a company event, a Christmas party for 300 guests, I will go away and I plan that event. So I work out exactly how much they need in the way of bar equipment, literally the size, down to the units, the bar units, the fridges. I then work out, depending on whether they have a budget, so whether they want a completely free pay bar. So they just, you know, the guests come in, they order drinks, they pay like they would in any other bar up and down the country.
Yeah.
Some clients would want to pay a free bar, so they don't want their guests to pay. Yeah. So we work a deal out on that. Some mix and match it. So we do all of that. We provide everything. So when we come in, we put in the bars, we put in the fridges, we put in a comprehensive range of products. We bring in the staff and down to the little things like the sliced lemons, the sliced limes, the ice, everything like that is done by us. We staff the whole event. We basically take the money, and at the end of the evening, when everyone's happy and everyone's crawled off home or been carried home in cash, they can't stand up anymore, we break everything down, clear it away, remove everything, waste the whole lot. You wouldn't know we were there.
Right. So that's normally about 3 o'clock in the morning, isn't it?
Quite often, yes. An event bar, you would think, oh, if the bar's open 2 till 11, it's all right. But actually, it quite often starts at 7 a.m. when you're loading, right the way through to breaking down and getting home and thinking, it's 4:30.
Exactly. Can I ask you a question there? Yeah. It just struck me while you were talking there. If you were saying you were doing a summer party in my garden, how does that work from a licensing point of view, a drink license point of view?
Right. There's a license called a temporary events notice, which is a TENS notice. Every council issues them. If you're having an event in your garden whereby you're selling alcohol, and I believe from entertainment purposes, I think you should also have one if you're having live music or anything else in your garden. Anyone can apply for a temporary events notice from the local council. Whoever you pay your business rates or council tax to is who you would speak to about that. Right. Most of them are online. It's 10 minutes to fill it out.
Right.
It's 20, I think the current price, depending on the council, most of them are £21 for the license.
Oh, right, okay.
I think, as assuming you're a non-license holder yourself, you can apply for 5 of them a year.
Right.
As a professional, as a license holder myself, I can apply for 50.
Right.
So I just fill them in. My belief from the TENS legal point is that they can't actually be refused unless there's very good grounds. Now, when the license goes into the council will send a copy to their health and safety team. They'll send a copy to the licensing officer of the local police force. Yeah. And they will look at it. And they usually just scan them and think, we have no problem with this venue or we have no problem with this licensee, and they allow it. The license tells the police and the council how many guests you've got coming, how long you want to run the event for, and the kind of event it is, where it is.
Yeah.
And as long as it's not on the top of the White Cliffs of Dover from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. on Easter Sunday, they're probably not going to object to it.
Yeah. Or like my next-door neighbour farmer of 10 years ago that staged a rave for 4,000 people.
Well, the TENS only covers 499 people. Above that, you have to start talking to the planners.
I don't think he had a license, to be honest.
I don't think most of them don't bother because they get the money up front and then they disappear. Whereas with me, if I turn up and if the police turn up, the first thing they're going to do is come straight to the bar and say, can we see your TENS license? And if you haven't got one, it's a hefty fine.
Yeah.
So for the sake of £21, it really isn't worth avoiding.
Absolutely. Okay. So that's the nature of what you do. Now, I guess we've got to make the point, Matt. I don't suppose you've done a lot of it in the last year, have you?
I've had an easy year. That would be an understatement. Yes, I do very distinctly recall the event day or the day when they announced the lockdown, and I suddenly watched my email suddenly go ping, 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 ping. I thought, uh-oh. And it was, what's your policy on cancellations? What's your policy on postponements?
Yeah.
So I just found myself for the next week or so, just everything that was booked was slowly just being moved to 3 months later, 6 months later, next year. And that basically just killed everything. So we just stopped for the summer. There was nothing going on. And then as the lockdowns, we came out of lockdown and then went back in, they were ping, ping, ping again as people were postponing them even further.
Well, so, I don't know how you feel about this. So I'll be interested in this. I mean, for me, I own a lot of businesses as well. And for me, the in and out nature of it was worse than just shutting down altogether.
I think it was very frustrating because you couldn't plan. And you can sit back and accept if your revenue income is going to disappear for 6 months and you think after 6 months we're out, that's fine.
Mm.
But I do understand shutting a country down for 6 months or 9 months is not a cheap operation. Mm. And, you know, 3 months was great and they started off with that. I mean, the country, as you'll probably notice, I went out a couple of times doing a few other bits and pieces I was asked to do and it was completely dead. I mean, I have never seen roads as quiet as they are.
Mm.
I think that everyone thought 3 months would be enough. And quite clearly it wasn't. And that's, I think, clear in the fact that the subsequent lockdowns, it was not as lockdown as it should have been every other time. I mean, the one we're currently in, we're still in a lockdown. People don't seem to realise we're still in a lockdown. The roads are manic.
Yeah, there's absolutely. Yeah,
and it doesn't look like a lockdown at all.
Yeah. No, you're right. I actually live on a main road on the A28. And in the first one, I never saw a car all day. I could look out my window, I never saw a car. Now there's a traffic jam outside my door. You know, people queued up at traffic lights and stuff. No, you're absolutely right. Okay, so, I mean, that's had a dramatic effect on your business, as it has with a lot of other businesses. How have you coped with that, Matt?
Well, by battening down the hatches, I think is the honest word. I mean, you know, there are other income streams out there. To be honest, I've had some help from family because I'm in an industry that no one could predict was going to shut like that. And I'm highly sympathetic to anybody that does, you know, the thing I do or other trades, you know, the small hair salons where they literally have gone from being wide open to doing nothing. Yeah. You just have to live with it. You have to cut your cloth. You know, my expenses have dried up because I'm not going anywhere. So you can minimize certain things, but I do understand I'm very sympathetic to people who say, well, I can't drive, but you can't just cancel your car insurance or these sort of things that if you do that, they're up in arms with you.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. I did at one point take advantage of the bounce back loan, which somewhat annoying now. I'm going to have to pay that back over the next 2 or 3 years. But on the flip side to the coin, you've got to survive, haven't you? Yeah, you can't expect the government to give you everything. So you just grin and bear it, I think. Just
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's try and open it up a bit and look on the bright side of what could happen. So once we are finally let out, and one assumes they will let us out eventually. Although they seem to be hanging on to a grim death at the moment. I've no idea what's going on at the moment, but there you go. And as you say, a lot of people now start to just ignore the lockdown, from a personal point of view, at least. Once it's officially over and we can start to go back to having events, how do you see the market? Do you think you're going to see an upsurge in loads of escape parties and stuff?
There has certainly been an upsurge since they announced the roadmap out, which is what they needed to do. Because if people, as I said earlier, if people are given a plan, at least you can sit there and say, okay, for the next 2 months, nothing's going to happen. But then this will start to happen.
Yeah.
There was certainly an upsurge in the inquiries and people saying, look, I postponed. Could you fit me in this date? Could you fit me in that date?
Yeah.
So that's from that perspective, it's been great. And I have seen it moving on a bit from there.
Yeah.
Will it go berserk? People who book wedding bars anybody who's booking a wedding tend to plan 12, 18 months in advance.
Yeah.
It's not something that you do with 2 weeks' notice. Men, maybe, will be a little bit more more forethought in it. So I've already had people in when they announced the release of the lockdown that immediately then contacted me and said, the bar I've got booked in May, can I postpone it to next year? So there are still people out there thinking this still isn't, we're not out of this yet.
Yeah.
It will get busy, but I don't think it'll go mad because at the end of the day, most people who are getting married, and that's the biggest section of my business,
People
who are getting married want to get married May, June, July, August. And whatever you do, there's only 4 weekends on average in May, June, July, and August. You can't suddenly have 8 or 10 weekends.
Yeah.
And you're finding, or I'm finding, that there are venues that are already booked for next year.
Right, okay.
They're already fully booked. So people are having to think about it. What may happen, and which would be quite nice from my perspective, is people might start to think, well, let's have a wedding on a Thursday.
Right, okay.
Because, you know, from that perspective, it's great. You know, I can just fit in another day in there, but I can't. It won't go crazy. Different people are doing different things. Two of my clients have actually got married in the interim. Right. And are then going to have a party.
A celebration, yeah.
A celebration party. So that's certainly beginning to change.
Harry and Meghan, that was it?
I'm not mentioning it. Sorry.
I was being a bit controversial there, wasn't I?
Yeah. I don't know what I was going to say. I can't discuss my interview later with Oprah. I'm afraid. I'll keep that under wraps.
Absolutely. But you're right. You know, I think people will take a lot of different approaches to how things unfold when they eventually unfold. Just because, my sense is you're going to get a rush of people trying to book things, like weddings and stuff. And as you said, there's only a finite amount of dates that people want.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to be a little bit different about it. Absolutely. And, of course, the whole events industry has been hit really badly. And it's an industry I know really well. My partner ran an events business until the start of lockdown. She ran big trade shows. And, of course, they've all come to an end during lockdown. So it's been a difficult time. It's been a difficult time for all of us, obviously. But the events and the leisure and hospitality industry have been particularly hard hit by everything. And I know that you've also got a longer term sideline to your business, which is in the same space, which is Marquee Hire. And I guess, again, you haven't had a lot of demand for marquees.
No. That's been interesting. The marquees is another part of my business. If I'm honest, I'm a bit fussy about who I do business with and how I do business. I used to work in the marquee business is that what actually led me into the bar business. Although I'd been in the bar business before as a public and other things, I went to work for a marquee company. And one of the things they did at a wedding, the first week I was there, they said, we're building this marquee for a wedding. Can you help? And I said, yeah, great. No problem. What do you want? They said, well, you've never done a marquee before. So could you help sort out the bar? And I said, yeah, I've got plenty of background in that. And I watched them build this bar inside the marquee. and I watched the abject chaos by people who really didn't know what they were doing. So they got their bar built, and I said to the owner of the company, I said, right, we're getting everything organised. Shall I go and get the ice and everything? He said, no, we don't bother about ice. And I said, sorry. He said, no. I said, well, what about all the slices and the gut? No, we don't bother about that. If they want a gin and tonic, we just give them a gin and a tonic. And I'm thinking, that's not really... I personally would be quite disappointed if I went to a bar and got that.
Yeah.
They also had multiple pricing structures.
Right.
So I try to make things simple. So things like a bottle of beer or cider or a basic spirit, you know, a Bacardi and Coke, it's £4.
Right.
And I do that for a couple of reasons. I don't have a load of change.
Yeah.
It's easy to add up in your head, and it's clear and concise for your customer.
Yeah.
If you've got the bar that's £2.98 for this, £3.12 for that, your staff are sitting there thinking, I can't work this out. So everyone's taking, it just takes longer to serve people. I can't work that out. So I watched that and I thought, this is not the way to run a bar. There are better ways.
Yeah.
But also, I then went on for the marquees and thought, there's a better way of doing this as well. Right. So I tend to aim... I'm a very small marquee company, but I tend to aim at more private events where I'm a little bit more expensive than other people. I don't bemoan that, but I offer a premium product. I'm not interested in bodging up a cheap marquee for a festival somewhere which is going to get covered in mud and smashed and trashed. I'd much rather, for want of a better phrase, a nice client and a nice garden who's prepared to spend $1,500, $2,000 more, but actually have a marquee that looks like it's brand new and not one that looks like it's been dragged through a hedge backwards.
Yeah, sure. Mm. Absolutely. So you sound like a man that is kind of going to expand around this. Do you see yourself going into other areas of the same business? So at some point you're going to be booking bands and...
It's funny you should say that. I hadn't considered the bands, although I'm now going to write that down. Well, I've got, because I'm building a brand around the Neptune name, or trying to. So what I want to do is actually set up an events business, because that is the way forward. If I can, from a business perspective, if I can book a marquee for a wedding, they then turn around and say, we need a bar. And I can say, well, actually, I can deal with that for you as well. And I keep it all in-house. It's effectively making a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
So that I know that when I offer them superb products, I know it's superb because I'm providing it. Whereas if you sit there and they say, well, can you recommend a toilet company or something, and you think, well, I can, but, and because you've recommended it, if it turns up and it's not quite what they expected, they just,
you know, blame you.
They look at you and think, it's not as good as we thought it. When you say, look, I'm really sorry, but it's not my business. I would try. So I'm a bit careful, but certainly the events business, and I'm working more on corporate bars now. I really want to get into the corporate bar business, because they tend to be a little not less picky. That's not the way I'm looking at. They tend to be more realistic with their demands, you know, and serving 200 or 300 people. It's good fun. If you have a good party vibe going on, it really, really helps they go.
Yeah, and corporate events are a different animal to a wedding or a personal party, aren't they? Which for a lot of people, that wedding or personal party is a one-off life event, whereas for a corporate, it's something they do on a regular basis. Absolutely. Matt, I get all that. It's been great talking to you. Thank you. People want to find out more about Neptune Bars, what's the best way to do that?
The best way probably is just go to the website, which is as the usual, www.neptunebars.co.uk. If you find me on there, there's all my contact details, email address, phone number, mobile number. Please, anyone wants to give me a call anytime they like. My phone is never switched off, except
you. That's fantastic. We've got a link to your website on the radio website as well. That will stay there forever, so people can find it there.
Thank you.
Matt, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. We wish you much luck going forward with your business. Thanks for joining us on the Business Bunker Show, and we'll see you again soon, hopefully.
Great. Thank you very much. It's great talking to you too. Thanks very much. Have a great day.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Locke Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lockassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
That was Matt Butler there of Neptune Bars. Great to catch up with Matt. Fantastic story. It's always interesting to find out why people launch their businesses and how they see it going. Of course, an events business under current circumstances is something that requires a lot of tenacity to hold on to. So we wish Matt all the luck in the world going forward, and let's hope the events industry is allowed to open again soon. Not just the events industry, events, hospitality and food. We need it back open, and it should be open by now. Come on, get on with it. Do you know what? I caught up with Jules. Why don't we go straight into that and listen to what Jules had to rant about this week?
It's that time of the week again when I catch up with the lovely Jules Serkin. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm very well. I'm tickety-boo. I think, as you know, I've had my COVID vaccine jab.
Yeah. How did that go?
It was very well organised. I went to the cinema. There was no popcorn.
Did it hurt?
No, but, you know, I'm a woman, darling. I mean, we have cesareans, we have childbirth, you know, it's a little...
What, in the Odeon?
It's a small prick.
Yeah, obviously.
You do know that they always say sharp scratch for that reason, which I always find amusing. But it doesn't hurt at all. It's nothing to be frightened of. It was extremely well organised. But... I have had some, it was the Oxford AstraZeneca, and as many people know, that one seems to have a few side effects. So,
yeah, but they're what they're predicted, though, aren't they? They're not, it's what it says that you'll get.
Yeah, they're saying it's a good thing, apparently. Yeah. My immune system working. Yeah. So I had a sort of aching spine, and funny enough, my hands were aching, like flu symptoms. And I took some paracetamol. I was a bit shivery on Saturday night, and I was draping myself over my new husband because I was so cold. He slept through the whole thing, but I was literally lying on him to get his body heat, which was quite amusing. And I even thought about inviting the dog into bed, you know, I was so cold. And then the next day, just felt a bit pretty sluggish. And Gav had his, the new husband, he had his the next day from me. I drove him to our Estuary View drive-through in Whitstable. And how he managed to get it, as I said on the previous show, he's only 49. Yeah. But he had it, and being a man, all he had was a headache.
Yeah.
Whereas I had flu symptoms, so that was annoying. I wanted to hit him. He said, no. I said, are you ill? Do you feel ill? No, I'm fine. But he did have a bit of a headache when he drank coffee, which was quite interesting. So it's probably, I found I drank a lot of water, needed to drink a lot. I was very thirsty.
Good.
So, and that's one of the things they advise you, drink lots of water to flush it out your system.
You're not used to that, are you?
No, not water.
Not water.
Have you had yours yet?
No.
So you've had all the letters, but not actually...
I haven't booked it yet. Yeah. I've been a tad busy.
Well, it only takes 5 minutes. Yeah. Where will you have to go?
I've no idea. I don't know. I've no idea.
So you haven't actually phoned up or clicked a link?
No.
You don't want it, do you?
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind having it. I've got... I'm right stuck in the middle of a really nasty situation, and I just haven't got time to think about that. I've got to work my way through where we are at the moment.
Well, I was wildly excited. I actually put on full makeup, got dressed, and then...
You made a date of it, didn't you?
I did. I actually... and women will know there are two forms of makeup. There's your day-to-day BB cream, or there's the works, you know, where I... Yeah. I put on purple eyeshadow and mascara. And I don't actually mind putting on makeup, but as a lot of women will tell you, it's the rigmarole of taking it off at night when you're a bit, you know, it's tired. You go to bed about 11, you have to start scraping about getting your mascara off, and it's a bit of a rigmarole, I find.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, put the works. And then we went in and sat on a bench, like a couple of hobos, and had a wild coffee and a sausage roll.
Right.
And then went home to work. it was a Friday.
Right, well, I'll leave it a few more days to see how you get on, and then if you're still functioning, then I'll book mine. But I want to rant. I want to rant for a change.
Oh, go on. Yeah, I'll sit back.
You know, we had a set to a week or so ago with Canterbury Council.
Yes.
Over car parking.
Yes.
Yeah? And they said to us, "Yeah, but you can park in the Castle Street multi-story."
Yeah. Yeah?
And we both said, but it's horrible, dangerous, dark.
Yeah,
and
dark. People wee in the corridor.
Yeah. Guess what?
What?
It's been shut for the last 2 weeks.
You're joking.
No, I'm not. They shut it. No idea. It's shut. You can't go in there. So that worked really well, didn't it?
Have you tweeted them?
No, I can't be bothered. It's just pointless. They just talk nonsense.
Well, it's comms, isn't it? It's just comms spouting out on Twitter.
And also, talking about Canterbury, just for a moment, and I want your views on this. Do you know at the bottom of Canterbury High Street by the West Gate was the Jaguar dealership, Barrett's? Well, they've moved to Broadup Road, where all the other car dealers are.
Yeah.
And that site has been acquired, and they're building student flats on it.
Again?
Yeah.
More
so at the rear is going to be student flats. And then at the front, it was due to be cafes and shops. And the developers now changed their mind and decided to put an office there, and reception for the flats. And the council are going bonkers because they're saying it should be shops. Now, they did the same to me with Fruitworks. They kept moaning, and it wasn't shops. Why are they obsessed with shops?
When the shops are all shut
and the shops are all shut and don't work.
And struggling.
And we have all these conversations about reinventing the high street.
Yeah.
And councils go, no, you can't do that. It's not a shop. No, you can't do that. It's not a shop. No, you can't do that. It's not a shop. It's not as if there's no empty shops in Canterbury High Street. There's hundreds.
Completely. It was very, very sad when I went in. And I did have a rant about that because, and it's a good point you make because if you keep having empty shops, it's just desolate. It's awful.
It kills everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and I ranted because, number one, I ranted because, of course, everybody's getting takeaways. We can't eat in. And we had a lot of packaging with our thing. As you know, I went to a chain, which I don't normally do, but we were in a real rush and it was at the beginning of the high street. Otherwise, I could have gone to Fruitworks, of course.
Yeah.
What's your coffee there that you're doing?
Fond coffee.
Fond. Well, that sounds nice. I'm fond of fond coffee.
Yeah, it's nice.
But we went to a chain and the paper we had, it was two sausage rolls and two coffees, Americano and whatever I had, can't remember. And there was a paper bag, napkins, you know, spoons, this, that and the other and all sorts. And, of course, the bin there is just rubbish.
Yeah.
And I thought, why am I at home, you know, washing out tins and, you know, separating. I mean, my bedroom, for example, I don't know about your bedroom, Paul Andrews, my bedroom, I've got a bin and in it I've got a paper bag that I recycle from my Riverford delivery, and in that paper bag I put things for putting in the paper bin, and then I've got another bloody bag for things that have to go in another bin, and I have a cleaner, you know, so I have to keep it pretty structured. I thought, well, why are we bothering with that? Because it's very time consuming. And then we've got the food caddy and we've got the green bin, which we pay for. And our rates have just gone up, and our council tax has just gone up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But Canterbury can't be bothered to put a recycle bin in the high street where all those coffee shops are.
It's typical of politicians. They want to have endless committee meetings talking about all these problems that they're going to solve, but they actually don't do anything practical. They very rarely do anything practical. Anyway,
it's a lot of pen pushing. But what would you like to see under those flats then, Paul?
No, I'm fine. I'm happy for them to have an office there. You know, as far as I'm concerned, there's plenty of eateries and coffee shops and stuff
so
in
many.
The high street.
Yeah, and hairdressers.
And you don't need any more. What you need is people to use them. So having the flats there means that the people that live in those flats, the students, will use what's already in the high street. What annoys me is how the council are so one-dimensional about what goes in the high street. Yeah, they're obsessed with it, with their retail plan and it being a shop. the fact that nobody wants to open a shop, and opening a shop is fatal, is they don't, it's, the problem is, it seems to me that the reason they want retail is they get more council tax. But, yeah. But of course, the council don't get the council tax from businesses. They don't get business rates. Central government get business rates. So I'm really not sure what it's all about. But I had exactly the same problem with them when I tried to expand Fruitworks. And they said, well, you can't do that. You can't have 120 businesses in here. We want it to be a shop.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what do you want me to sell in the shop?
Yeah, yeah. I know. Fishmonger, that's what you should have been.
Yeah, and, you know.
It is really sad.
And I just think we need a lot more gumption out of our local politicians than what we currently have. And what we currently have is a lot of committee meetings and a lot of hot air and not a lot of practical stuff. But there you go.
So would you see that space? It's quite a big space. Would you see it as one big office, or would you see it as
what the developers now proposing is to make it a reception area for the flats.
So like a concierge?
Yeah, so basically you go in and there's a reception area and a concierge, and there's an office that manages all the flats behind it.
Right.
It makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. Where it is, right on that corner, you know, right on the Westgate there, right where the traffic flows round, it's not a nice place to have a shop anyway, because traffic all thunders past it. I cannot see who would open a shop in there. Why would you open a shop in there? You know, there's coffee shops and restaurants on both sides of the road next to it. Why would you open another one? It makes
exactly
no sense.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's an awful lot. I mean, our high streets, we've said this before over the years in Bunker, even, you know, 5 years ago, the high streets are now barbers and coffee shops.
Yeah, and tattoo parlours.
Yeah, tattoo parlours and beauty. There's a few sort of nail things and that. It's sad. And I was ranting also on Twitter that, you know, WH Smith is open as an essential shop. Mm. And I'm not disputing that. And Marks and Spencers, you can go in, you can buy a bra, you can buy tights, you can buy whatever. But our little shops, you know, I could buy a card, a birthday card from Marks and Spencers. Hallelujah, that's fabulous. I'm really pleased about that. But my little independent Tankerton shop,
can't open. Yeah,
closed. It doesn't make sense.
It's a plan. Yeah, it does. It makes total sense. They're trying to kill small businesses.
Mm. Well, that makes me very sad.
But until we wake up to this fact, we're not getting anywhere. You know, if you look at everything that happens, every regulation that's imposed, every rule that's imposed, it all serves big corporations and never serves small businesses. I'm beyond thinking about why they're doing these things. I just look at what they actually do and go, that's not right. It's not, you know, that's not the way to go. The fact, coming back to the high street, though, that, you know, the high street is never going to look the same as it used to.
No, it can't.
We're never going to go back to a range of stores and shops. It's always going to be different. It's always going to be leisure and food and entertainment.
And tactile things that you can touch, perhaps.
And then things you just can't do online, like get your hair cut or get a tattoo or get your nails done or, you know, whatever. Those kind of things will survive, obviously, because you can't do them online. So it's about a mixed use. It's about having people live there. It's about entertainment. It's about, you know, a mixture of offices and other types of things. Yeah. You know, from my point of view, the more things you have clustered around the high street in terms of living space and office space, the more customers you've got. And the funny thing is, council, not just Canterbury, but most town councils are spending all of their time trying to stop people driving into their towns, like putting up car parking and all the rest of it. And then they go, oh, our shops don't survive.
Exactly.
So the answer is quite straightforward. Stop bringing people into the town make the town a home for people, so that basically you've got people living amongst the town centre that then become the customers of the restaurants, bars, shops. Exactly. You know, it doesn't even take a moment of thought to think that through. But their planning is done in silos without thinking through, you know, the effect of one thing on another. So they go, right, sustainable development goals. Right, let's ban motor cars.
Yeah,
you go, exactly. Oh, hold on a minute. Well, if you've got no cars, we're going to, you know, who's going to use any of the facilities?
The fact is, as a mother who had three kids, you know, what you do is you get in your car. If you can't walk to school, when they were at primary school, we used to walk them to school, fine, or cycle. But once they're at secondary school, you often drop them off because the bus fares are ridiculous. And they have to get up at like 5:30 in the morning to get to Canterbury on a bus. And so you drop them off, then you go on to work, and then you go on somewhere else, and then you pick them up, and you get your violins and your drums in the back of the car, and that's what you do. Life isn't like that anymore.
We're all busy. But even, you know, my point is just thinking about the high street, not about your use for cars for other things. It's the unthought out approach to doing things in silos, which is what central organizations always do. Yeah, they go, today we're going to start discuss global warming, and how to be eco-friendly, and you go, okay, what we're going to use for electricity, different issue, not talking about that.
It's a bit like doctors. They don't look at the whole person. If you're a doctor, but you know, they'll give you a blood test for something, but they won't look at the whole person and what's going on.
That's the problem.
I have something for small businesses, because we were just saying that we feel they should get more help. And this is from government. Yeah. And I'll send you later the link to put on your business radio website, which is, remind me, kentbusradio.co.uk.
Kentbusinessradio.co.uk or bizradio.co.uk.
Thank you. So you can register, if you're a small business, to order free lateral flow coronavirus tests for your employees, and for employers to get coronavirus tests for their staff, which obviously is really helpful. So I'm going to send Paul Andrews the link, and he'll put it up on his website later.
Okay.
But it's free lateral flow tests for your employees, which
I'm fantastic. While we're doing that, why don't you read an email as well?
Okay, well, as you know, it was International Women's Day, and there's a celebration which is on Thursday, the 18th of March. So they're still celebrating, which is fabulous. And it's 10 to 12, and it's with FSB Women. That is the Twitter handle at FSB Women. And the keynote speakers, there are lots of female entrepreneurs taken to steer their firms through changing business challenges. And the speakers for Thursday, the 18th of March from 10 to 12 are Julie Lilly, Emma Rigby, Shema Swift, Lucy Hall, Rosanara Begum, she sounds as if she might be Turkish, Paulette Watson, and you can go to www.fsb.org.uk and then /event calendar, and you'll find that International Women's Day celebration on there. So again, that's Thursday the 18th of March at 10 till 12. And yeah, that will be good. Also, there's a Kent County Council's Trading Standards Officers, and they're offering free specialist advice to local firms needing help to do business with the EU. And it's a no-cost guidance for businesses, and it'll be via a dedicated advice line. So I'm going to read out that phone number in a minute, and we will, of course, put it on to Kent Business Radio's website after the show. Mm-hmm. So if you've got your little pen ready, it's 03333 602 300. So that's 03333 602 300. There's an open morning, which is Monday. Oh, sorry, they're saying it's open on Monday to Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. And it's a one-stop shop which offers business support to meet the new Brexit-related border requirements. And it'll be particularly helpful to small businesses who do not have this type of expertise in-house. Ahead of the UK leaving the EU, government agreed to introduce introduce new trade rules in stages to give businesses grappling with the pandemic more time to adjust. And the key changes Kent importers need to be ready for on the 1st of April are ensuring a legal representative for the goods is appointed, making sure labelling is correct, assuring goods carry the right product marking, which would be a CE mark if goods have undergone conformity testing in the EU, is allowed up to the end of this year, that CE mark. Mm-hmm. But the new UK CA mark will be mandatory from the 1st of January next year, 2022. So quite a lot going on there. So again, that number is 03333 602 300. So glad I had my real teeth in for that phone number.
Yeah, absolutely. We're having a bit of problems at the moment because the French are being a nuisance. French customs are deliberately delaying everything just for just to be nuisances. But they'll stop doing that soon.
Well, what about this? They stopped the vaccine going to Australia or Italy.
I don't understand.
Awful.
I don't understand what they're doing. But I've been sending some stuff to France just recently, and it's all been delayed while they mess about. There's nothing wrong. All the paperwork's filled in. It's all correct. The paperwork took no time at all. It took me 20 seconds. But the customs people are just holding it up while they think about it.
A cup of coffee. Yeah. I had a very small job booked for a landing loo, and my new husband's bathroom, which we have an electric shower, which I insisted he had because
I've got water.
Well, you're very lucky, but this electric shower, I insisted, because if your boiler breaks, which it always breaks, doesn't it, on Christmas Eve. Yeah. And you can't get...
Sorry, I made myself laugh then.
Well, this electric shower, it's like a caravan shower. I agree with him. It doesn't give him a really good shower experience. So he keeps creeping into mine. And mine's all pink, you know. I don't want him in my bathroom. He makes so much mess. And honestly, he spends so long in the shower, Paul Andrews. The whole, even with the extractor fan on, the whole room is misted up. I just pop in and out, you know. But... long story, this has been booked since last October because my lovely plumber is busy because everybody's staying at home and they're doing all this stuff. So it was all booked for next Monday, and I've got my tiles and everything else, but the plumber just phoned and he's in a right old state, and he says that the parts he needs, shower trays, for example, the acrylic on them or whatever it is, complete delay. So it's at least 10 days. I did grit my teeth and think perhaps he could have ordered a little bit sooner, seeing as it was booked last October, but he's so lovely. But there are big delays, and also in pet food, I was hearing, again, because of COVID. So there's delays in things, plumbing things, definitely. And my tiles that I ordered took 10 days to be delivered. And, of course, I had to buy them online. I couldn't go in and browse.
Yeah. That's not good, is it?
No, Tile Giant, lovely, really nice.
You couldn't feel the quality.
No, well, they were great. They posted me one, which came the next day. Yeah, I had a tile through the post. So think what that's costing them. You know, any tile I wanted on a whim, they'd post me.
Well, if you do that 200 times, you've got three tiles, haven't you? they're all different.
I only need 7 square meters, whatever that is. I don't do meters. It's very embarrassing.
I have to tell you, I really did have one in a flat I had when I was, a kid. I had a flat, and my dad, I said I needed a new bit of carpet in. And my dad said, well, I've got a sample book of carpet tiles. So I just took all the carpet tiles. They're all completely different. And carpeted my little flat in these carpet tiles.
It must have been multicoloured.
Yeah, it was. There were all kinds of colours and patterns.
Well, what I could do is get all the bunker listeners to order the tiles that I want.
Yeah.
And then Tile Giant would think, oh, this is popular, this one.
Yeah. We could sponsor them like my little Buddhist temple in Sri Lanka.
Yeah, one tile at a time.
One tile at a time, yeah.
But... I'm a bit upset with the new husband because I think we should have kept one electric shower, even if it is a little bit piddly, because that boiler will break one day and we'll all be shivering, and that will be the one thing that we can use.
Right.
So I was being practical, but he's not having it.
Mind you could just go for a swim.
You could, yeah. Oh, they're all swimming here. I mean, in this freezing cold, they're all swimming.
No, but you've got an indoor swimming pool.
Yeah, I have. I try not to tell people that because I feel a bit embarrassed.
Why?
By being posh.
But how's it heated? Is it heated?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. You don't need a shower. Go for a swim.
and no chlorine, of course, which is really nice.
Is it salt? Is it salt water?
No, I'm trying to get it. No, there is a bit of chlorine, but I don't put it in. I generally don't put it in. It's only me that swims in it, really, unless the kids come.
It's only me.
I'm lucky. So pure.
Mine goes green if I don't show it 400 weight of chlorine.
Yeah, I am trying to. But I had a whole discussion. We'll have to talk about this because you'll run out of time. But off air, we'll have to talk, because I had a whole discussion about not using chlorine and doing it salt, purifying it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy said, after about an hour, I was totally bamboozled. And he seemed to say it was the same as chlorine. It turns into chlorine or something. Mm. I didn't understand it all. So if you know better, let me know.
Yeah, now there is something else that's a hybrid between chlorine and salt. Because I don't
know.
I use chlorine. I just use chlorine.
No, I don't want to. It's not good for you.
Yeah, there must be some alternative.
I'm still trying to get a soft water thing. But
right.
I've got one more.
I know, but we haven't got time. We've run out of time. Right. You've been waffling about showers.
No, we need to have more catch-ups, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm quite lonely, you know. It's only me and your husband.
But hopefully in the next couple of weeks you'll be allowed back in the studio, which will be much better.
Yeah, and before that you could meet me on a bench now.
We could meet on a bench and record it, couldn't we? I'll bring my little recording stick.
Yeah.
We could sit in a little overcoat on a bench looking at the sea.
Yeah, we could go to Tenterden High Street.
It'll be like Derek and Clive. Do you remember Derek and Clive?
Yeah. I don't think I will be Derek or Clive.
No, okay.
I might be somebody else.
Okay.
I might wear a nice raincoat. But we could go to Tenterden High Street and do a Vox Pop.
Yeah, we could. But it would be nice just to get back in the studio.
It will, yeah.
Because I've really not enjoyed doing the show on my own. It's just not fun.
No. Well, as long as you make the coffee, because there is a bit of thing that I generally make it for you, and you don't. Very, very rarely have you made me in 12 years a coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying, oh no, you're not dragging me into that argument.
You've got quiet.
Yeah. Right, that's it. We've had enough.
Well, see you soon.
Yeah, have a good week.
I will.
Lovely to talk to you.
And I'll tweet you that link for the free lateral test.
All right. Bye. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
There you go, our weekly rant with the lovely Jules Serkin. It's always great to catch up with Jules. It's a shame what's happening to our small businesses. What else can you say? It's becoming harder and harder and harder to keep businesses going. I'm just catching up on some tweets. I missed one earlier. A tweet from Tracy Ferguson talking about Matt that we heard from Neptune Bars. And she said, listen to Matt, and fascinating to hear how he makes his decisions or who he works with and the experiences customers get. Values are so important to this. Great interview, and wishing Neptune Bars every future success when hospitality opens again. Well, thank you for that, Tracy. Absolutely, and couldn't agree with you more. Okay. Got a few more things to tell you about, but we're almost at the end of the show. Awards celebrate hard work, success, and a great public relations for your organisation. If you'd like to get some of that, and you're a winning business, then you can enter free the Maidstone or Canterbury or Ashford Business Awards 2021. Each of those regions has 12 categories you can enter. It's all free, and you can find out all about it and enter any of those awards by going to businessawardskent.co.uk. And I do believe there's going to be a joint awards dinner, a real live dinner with real live people sitting in front of each other, if all things pan out well, in November at the Great Danes Hotel in Hollingbourne. So that's the Kent Business Awards. Book now for the Marsh Network online. The next meeting is at 10:30 manana tomorrow, the 17th of March, and it's going to take place on Zoom. Bookings are going well. Make sure you of your place by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/marsh. Anyone who attends the meeting for the first time can come free. So if you're a regular, bring someone with you, a new contact. If you are going to bring someone that needs a free place, then just drop Terry an email at terry@botfield.net, and then join organisations from across Kent and East Sussex for relaxed professional networking. So that's tomorrow, Wednesday the 17th of March, 10:30, online. Do you want to use PA in your pocket, but are not quite sure where to start? We've got a free 30-minute webinar where we'll give you a tour of the app and all of its features, and it's taking place on Thursday the 25th of March at 10 a.m. And you can find out more about PA in your pocket by going to their website, which is grapevine.app, and that's grapevine spelled grapevyn.app, grapevine.app. Check it out and check out their tour of how to use the app. I'm a member. It's a really useful contact tool. Do go and check it out. More awards if you're in the construction industry. Construction Southeast Awards 2021. How would you like to have award winning next to the name of your construction business? We want to recognise the achievements, developments and innovations around the Southeast. Application is quick and easy and entry is free. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/business events or click the business events tab at the top of the page, you will see all the details about the Construction Southeast Awards 2021 and a link to go and book your place or your entry for that award. Okay. I've got a few more emails here to read, but one of them's quite long, but I'm going to try and get it in before the end of the show. Maidstone Domestic Abuse Forum has been holding online seminars aimed to highlight how domestic abuse affects all ages and to reassure victims that help is there for them. Maidstone Borough Council's Community Protection Team is working with partner agencies including KCC Early Help, Clarion Housing, Choices, Child's Vision and Kent Police to deliver the events and has another seminar planned for the 12th of May. During the COVID-19 pandemic, instances of domestic abuse in the UK and globally have risen as people have found themselves trapped at home with an abusive partner, spouse or other adult. At the same time, GPs have switched from face-to-face consulting to phone, digital and video, so-called remote consultations, potentially increasing the risk to people reporting violence. The Maidstone Domestic Abuse Forum online Cradle to Grave seminars are led by experienced members of the partnership agencies and cover the cycle of abuse from birth to death, outlining the perspective of the types and effects of abuse across a person's life. The events are targeted at professionals who may come into contact with potential sufferers of abuse and highlight ways to support them. If you'd like to register as a professional to attend this seminar, the next one is the 12th of May at 9:30, and you should contact James Walker at Maidstone Borough Council by email at jameswalker@maidstone.gov.uk. If you or anybody else needs support and advice, or if a victim is thinking of fleeing during isolation, please contact any of the following agencies for help. In Medway, Choice Domestic Abuse Services on 0800 917 9948. That's Medway, and that's 0800 917 9948. Clarion Domestic Abuse Support is 0800 280 0367. 0800 280 0367. The whole of Kent is a Kent Integrated Domestic Abuse Service on 0808 168 9111. That's 0808 168 9111. Or you can go to the website www.womensaid.org.uk. Not a nice note to end on, I'm afraid, but it's part of what we're going through with the lockdown and everything else, and we need our politicians to get a grip and start to get this unwound and get us back to normal. But talking about back to normal, we'll be back with another show next week. Thank you everybody that tweeted, joined in and participated. We'll see you all soon.